Hi, I'm Sam Heughan, and you're listening to the Outlander podcast.
This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldone. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 333. It's another palindrome, Summy, of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
What are we here to talk about this episode? Well, as you guys know, they're skipping a week, right, Sam?
They are. We will not get any answers to our cliffhangers from last week. I mean, book readers, you know what's going on. But the rest of us,
you know.
And did you see the preview for next week? They're even like leading you. It's the way that they're editing. So they have edited it so that Jamie says he's Governor Tryon's going to give you 5,000 acres of land. And then they cut to Sophie, Brianna, saying, what do I want that for?
Oh, it is
like
dirty.
The way that they're editing it is so dirty.
So what I did see, and I don't know if Summer did, is if you are a part of our Facebook community that is at outlanderpod.com/group, we have a special, it is an event, like you're going to schedule like a meeting or a thing or whatever. It's the only way or the best way we have found to be able to keep, to isolate conversation without, not spamming, but without spoiling the group. So we have this event called No Holds Barred. So if you've seen all the episodes and you've read all the books and you've read your daily lines or like your bread and butter and you want to talk about what was left out of this episode or what the cliffhanger means or anything or the stuff that Summer's talking about, hint, hint, right? You want to go to this event. It's called No Holds Barred. Anyway, the point is someone had posted or shared some stills, some photos from 508. And one of them was like, okay, that is not giving anyone, even non-book readers, that is not giving any spoilers. Summer and I said, I think we said in our last episode, you wouldn't be surprised / we expected to see the run-up to Roger being hanged, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this photo basically kind of confirmed that we're going to get that. That's all I'm going to say. If you want to see it, it is in our No Holds Barred event in our group, outlanderpod.com/group. But another person shared, and I don't know if this was from the Stars preview. I don't know if it was, like, holy crap. Holy crap. Because this is a huge spoiler that they're doing this, like, really early. Or not early, but really shocking. A still image that was shared is a huge spoiler. If you read the books, you know it's coming, but we didn't expect it so soon. So that's all I'm going to say. Go take a peek at the No Holds Barred event in the group, outlanderpod.com/group, and talk about anything and everything you like there in that event. Okay, Summer. So now what are we doing here? Why are we here this week to even... chat if there's no...
We are filling time, well, people.
We are
making sure y'all have something to listen to, even though there's no new Outlander episode.
That's the because we're nice thing, because we would do that no matter what, hopefully. But what are we actually sharing this week that we're a little bit late in sharing?
I have some guesses, but I'm pretty sure that we have some interviews in the can from the carpet that we've not yet had time to share. So honestly, we should be thanking Stars for taking
That's
the week
true.
Off and giving us the time to release it, because we have been going nonstop with the season since it started. Like, we saw the premiere happened, and then like the same night they released the episode for everyone, and then we had to get our episode up. So it was like trying to find time to release this, the audio has been challenging.
So without further ado, we hope that you can sit back with your favorite beverage and listen to our interviews brought to you straight from the red carpet at the season 5 premiere in Los Angeles.
Hello.
Hi there.
How's it going?
It's doing amazing. Really well. And also OG from 2014 Red Carpet at Comic-Con. Oh, my
How's
goodness.
It going?
So, yes, from Sacramento this morning at 3:30.
Hi, Sacramento.
So, hello, Katrina Bell.
Hi. How's it going?
We wanted a quick question about your, not necessarily your role as producer, but how, now that you've expanded your
your role with the production. How has that affected your work as Claire?
Hopefully it hasn't done any detrimental work. I think there's, after so many years of playing this character, it has become easier. I mean, I think that I have still been challenged this season by the writing, which has been really amazing this many seasons in. But I definitely think, you know, the prep is a little bit easier. You learn your lines a little bit quicker. And I think that that's why we were so anxious to become producers this season, is because I felt like there was a little bit more space in my life to try and learn a new skill and to be challenged by something different. I don't know that how it's affected it. I mean, I hope only in good ways. I don't know.
So maybe reverse. Your being Claire for so long and so settled into that role has kind of made a natural progression.
I think so, yeah. I think so, yeah.
Pick an emoji that best reflects your character this season. One emoji.
The turd. I think she's saying, just because she's like, oh, shit.
Thank you, Michelle, so much.
You can dress her up, but, you know, really.
And you do very well. So thank you so
much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi.
Hello, Mr. McTavish.
Hello.
I'm OG from 2014 at the season one premiere Red Carpet.
Wow.
And along with Comic-Con.
Yeah, my God. Yeah.
Yes, my God. I know, right?
I remember.
The first question, honestly, with love, all the love in our hearts, what are you doing here?
What am I doing here?
Yeah, well, we want to see you every time.
I live here. I live here. Well, I live between here and New Zealand, so I'm here. And also, I mean, in all honesty, I wanted to be here to support my friends.
Oh, you know,
people who have become very, very close, and we hang out together all the time. And
excellent.
And so I just thought I'd shamelessly come along and get free food and drink.
Perfect. That is a wonderful evening. And we heard you speaking of Clanlands just a moment ago.
Yes.
How it kind of evolved.
Yes, it did evolve, indeed.
Is there a plan to do like a premiere of it, like an event surrounding it?
Yeah, once it's all in place and we know exactly when it's going to be shown and where and all the rest of it, when we've got all that lined up, there'll be all that. And we want to do a book to go with it, to accompany it. And yeah, we're going to be, I mean, it's taken on a slight life of its own, actually. And it's something that I've wanted to do for, gosh, way, way, way before Outlander, probably 30 years. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was an idea that I had, and then Sam rang me and his love of Scotland and the landscape and the history. And it was just a perfect mix between the two of us, really. And we get on really well, and we have a good banter, and it just seemed like a logical thing to do.
Well, even though it's been a few years, if you could give us one emoji for your character Dougal of this final season, what emoji would that be that represented that season?
It would be... I don't know if such an emoji would exist, actually, but it would be a broken heart in front of a Scottish flag.
Oh, we will have one made just for you.
Thank you.
Or you can have two. Yes,
or possibly a heart with a bloody great knife in it in front of this Scottish flag.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, Mr. McTavish.
My pleasure.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Diana Gabaldon.
Hi.
Hey, we're doing so well. Ginger and Summer from the Outlander podcast.
I'm so happy to see you. Yeah.
So happy to see you. Now, we had, for us, interesting question.
Uh-huh.
This season will be the second time that you have written an episode.
That's right, yes.
For the series.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, since you'd already had one before, and you had one under your belt.
Yeah.
Was the approach to it a little easier?
Oh, yes, it was.
You know, creating it from scratch, your process.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How did you find it different?
There was a lot less interference from outside agencies, you might say. Yeah. No, I felt much more relaxed about it because I did know what I could do, you know, and how a script was put together. The first time I wrote a script, I didn't even know how to use the script writing software. So I'd run into things where it had suddenly duplicated 46 pages, and I was thinking, how am I going to take care of this? And yeah, that sort of thing. That did not happen this time. Yeah, so.
How did you balance that? Because that was still in and among the time that you're still working on.
I still am working on Beast, or I would be if I weren't here. Yes.
And for that, we thank you so much for taking
You're very welcome.
The spot from that.
Uh-huh.
So how did that, was that, I know you naturally balance a lot of things anyway.
I do, yes.
Was it a different type of balance, or just another thing?
It's just another thing.
Okay.
You know, I'm, I, I write stuff all of the time, you know, and it's just the focus that changes. You know, I may be working on bees, you know, full tilt, but, you know, something bubbles up in my mind and I realize this is from Master Raymond's story, but there it is. I can see it. And so I will quickly write it and then I go back to bees and so forth. So
then we have heard you say in different venues, different articles, different interviews, that in your opinion, in your mind, that this is a season decently
It's quite faithful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very faithful. As in so far as it can be, you know, there's only going to be about a tenth of what's in one of the books and one of the things. And in order to make things fit and be coherent and make a complete story arc within each episode, you're going to have to add things and subtract things and twist things. But I think they've done a really good job with it, yeah.
And were you able to go to Scotland for the filming of your episode?
Not this time, unfortunately. Way too busy. A lot of family stuff. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Well, it's my pleasure.
And
thank you.
Can't wait to speak with you later once Beast comes out.
Oh, I hope so. Well, that'll be soon.
Soon. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Hi there.
Good.
Yes. Thank you.
I've lost my other partner over here.
That's okay.
Exactly. Reunite.
He'll be in the background.
And
exactly.
It feels so good.
Exactly. If only I had the voice you have.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
I'll leave room for him.
Okay. He can maybe join us.
Exactly.
As we go.
Yes.
So, Meryl.
Yes.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you
Our
for having
mode.
Me. Yes.
So, how has it been, since this is going into its sixth season, and you finished the fifth, how have you seen your role as producer change, grow, etc.? And maybe...
Where are we? Who are we talking to?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Look at
I like your outfit.
And,
oh, my God. This is awesome.
And Beth B. Roberts, obviously.
It is, yes.
He's rarely seen.
I do not like to come out in public.
Well, I'll tell you what we told Graham and a few others, that we were there. Oh, we didn't say this. You guys were at that one and only Outlander fan event. Remember that?
The first
one? In January, Diana's birthday.
Yes.
And you had the blue beard.
No, that's not me.
Oh, who was? I'm so sorry. Ira.
Ira. That was Ira.
That was the other beard. Yes. I apologize.
We had so many beards on the show.
I know. I apologize.
But you were there.
But you were there.
That was our first ever event.
You mean in downtown?
Yeah.
We loved that. Was so exciting for us because, you know, we knew there were fans out there, but we hadn't been able to interact with anyone. And it was such a welcoming, amazing moment.
You know what that was really fun for is it was fun, I think, for Sony and Stars. Because we kind of told them, hey, people like this book. And they're like, yeah. And they're like, well, let's get a venue. And we're like, you're gonna need a bigger boat. And when that filled up and the fans were screaming and yelling and knew every, you know, that was like, you know, I know. We told you.
And bringing on Sam and Katrina. How has that kind of changed, maybe not the balance, but just the working, the team kind of cohesion, the working together?
I mean, I don't think, certainly my role as producer hasn't really changed at all over the seasons. I still do the same thing I did before. But, you know, we have a lot of producers on the show. All of our writers are producers, and they produce each episode. You know, we're excited that Sam and Katrina wanted to learn about behind the camera, since obviously they're in front of the camera. So, they've come and sat in on production meetings. And I think it's great that, they want to see what our lives are like. Exactly. So it's fun. But I'm not sure for myself I can say my role has changed. Your role has changed quite a bit. You're more the showrunner now.
I started out as a producer and writer and over the course of the seasons became co-showrunner and now showrunner. So there's a lot more responsibility.
I imagine.
Yes.
How have you seen maybe Kate's or Sam's role expand? Besides the obvious of them, you know, learning the role of producer.
Well, I mean, this was their first season as producers, so I think that they took on the learning role to see what happens behind the camera and the day to days. There's a lot of for every four minutes of film that you see, there's probably 100 meetings that we go to try to make those 4 minutes go as smoothly as possible. And it's kind of an art form to be able to take a script and look at it and break it down. And it's not something you learn overnight. It's something that, you know, I've been doing for you know, 25 years, and Meryl has too. So I wouldn't expect anybody to just go, I know how to do this after, you know, a season or two. So yeah. So.
And what are you most excited that you can talk about that for fans to see in season 5?
Oh God, that thing that happens.
Oh, that is amazing.
Oh, and everybody cried, and then everybody laughed. Yeah, that one. Sorry.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm doing this the wrong way. Maria, so nice to meet you. You're Ginger and Summer from the Outlander podcast. Hello. Yes, we wanted to be a little bit matchy with the purple and the everything. So, tell us a little bit about, without spoiling, obviously, tell us a little bit about Jocasta season 4 versus Jocasta season 5. Maybe what kind of journey she's been on or what you've gone through with her character.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things about season 4 was that you were just getting to meet her, weren't you? And so to learn, to try and set her up as a character, to understand who she is and how she operates. And she's obviously, like, she's very tender and loving sometimes, particularly with Bree, but she's also extraordinarily manipulative. And
she's a Mackenzie.
Yeah. And she's quite an operator, isn't she? So I think we just had to kind of learn that in season 4, really, and see the things that had driven her to that place where she lived now and how she kind of operated within that and managed to hold on to her domain and now how she was trying to incorporate her family into it. And in season 5, well, obviously we've left season 4 with this extraordinary passion has suddenly, she's had the opportunity to express and experience. So we start to see what that means to her, and I don't know, can she really do it again? Is she so afraid of loving and losing again? She's lost a lot already. So I think there's, get to see a little bit of what that means. You'll see certainly some of it in episode 1.
So maybe a little bit of opening up?
Yeah. It's much more revealing about her inside, I think. Last season was more about her outside and what, you know, how she got there. But I think season 5 is more about her inside.
Speaking of her as a Mackenzie, again, without spoiling, will we see any machinations of one Jocasta Cameron? I'm just kidding. Jocasta Cameron.
Machinations?
Her Mackenzie-ness.
Definitely. Definitely will. And also just some... Yeah, I got the chance to do some really great acting. That's all you want as an actor. I had the chance to do some... Oh, sorry, not great acting, but great... I had great scenes to play, but...
you are a great actress, but we understand.
It'll be up to you to judge whether it was great acting or not, but it was, yeah, it was a privilege.
Wow, well, we can't wait to see this. We can't wait to see this. So thank you so much.
You spend a third of your life in sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable?
And this new year, it is time to get comfortable, like with new bedding, loungewear, towels, and more.
Founded in early 2014 by husband and wife Vic and Richie Phillip, who wanted to find beautiful home essentials that didn't cost an arm and a leg, with a mission to make you comfortable.
They've moved beyond the bedroom to offer essentials for your bathroom, like towels, shower curtains, and bath mats, and even launched ultra-soft loungewear that makes you feel like you never left bed. Now, Summer, you've heard me say this before, and it's still true, I still love sleeping in my Brooklinen sheet sets. They're the softest set that I own. And like I've told you guys for a number of years now, I love that it's white. It's like my apartment-ish neutral is gray, except for the bedroom, my neutral is white.
And what she neglected to mention is that this is the same set of sheets that we've had for the last 4 years now?
Something like that.
And they're still soft and comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
No matter how many times I wash them. And, you know, we're neat. We're neat people. We're clean. We're not filthy. No matter how many times I wash them, they are still buttery soft and they still maintain their color, so they haven't faded. I went with a charcoal striped set of sheets, and they have not faded at all, and they still are beautiful and intact. But they do come with, I believe, a lifetime warranty if something did happen to them.
So you like softness, comfort, essentials to help you relax? Well, Brooklinen has it all. Brooklinen.com is the perfect place to hit refresh in the new year. Go on, make yourself comfortable.
Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping on the all-new sheet when you use promo code Outlander, only at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com.
Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life.
Hello,
Mr. Sam Heughan. I think you're Sam Heughan.
Today I will be Sam Heughan.
Okay, well, thankfully there's someone in that role today. Okay, great.
I'll play that role for today.
Perfect. So, new producer to the show, you and Katrina. And so your role, not necessarily as Jamie, but your role as a human on the show has expanded. So what has that been like for you, number one, as a person and learning new skills and also adding to your skill set? And also, has it affected, necessarily or not, how you approach Jamie, playing Jamie?
That's a good question. Yes, I mean, so we got these credits quite late on in the process of them breaking the scripts and breaking down the storyline. So we weren't really involved in that at first. But towards the end of the season, we were very collaborative with the great writers. And certainly the last couple of episodes, it was a real collaboration in there. And, we've been playing these characters for 6 years, over 6 years now. So it feels right to be a spokesperson for your character, but not only your individual character, but also the show as a whole. You know, we have a real commitment to our show, and we want to serve our fans. You know, we want to make sure that they get the best show possible.
Excellent. And if you could only pick one emoji that best reflects your character this season,
what would that emoji be?
One emoji for my character this season. It's probably the red coat with the. I mean, he doesn't have the soldiers. Yes, I think the British soldier emoji. I think there is one. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, it's certainly a very big part of Jamie's story this season, and is a good one.
Before we let you go, could we have you do a shout out for our show just to say hey? So say I'm Sam Heughan, and you're listening to the Outlander podcast.
Hi, I'm Sam Heughan, and you're listening to the Outlander podcast.
Thank you, Sam, so much. And break a leg, as they say, and all the best. Thank you so much. Our pleasure. Thank you. It's Lauren Lyle.
Hi. Hi.
One of them, the other one, both of them, all of them.
I'll come to you both. That's right.
Absolutely. Okay, so Miss Lauren Lyle. Oh, thank you. An H4N Pro.
Yeah, because I don't know why I have that. I was recording some. Oh no, I can't actually say because it's a project that I'm going to be launching quite soon. But this is quite good because everyone will know about it soon. But yeah, it's really exciting. I'm doing a thing and it's happening soon. And it's
excellent. And you have a Zoom.
Yeah.
Perfect. So good Zoom. If you're listening, hello, promotion. Okay. Right. Okay. Sponsor. Yes, please sponsor Ms. Lauren Lyle. So, your character this season. She's a relatively new mom. Season three at the end.
Well, she found out. By four, she's had one by the beginning of this one.
So we're going to see the second one.
There are so many children.
She's a producer.
She's a producer. Her and Fergus have a lot of fun together. They're a young, hot couple that get it on. But we, by the beginning of five, you've got Germain is growing up, and then there's another one, and then another one on the way. So there's a lot.
Can't name them.
You'll find out the names, Joan.
Wee Joni from the books.
Wee Joni, and then there's another one coming. Felicity.
Felicity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't believe I forgot that part. Sorry about that. So now, okay, a new mom.
Yeah,
so how, and we've seen a clip that they put out that shows you maybe stepping into some kind of temporary, at least, assistant to Claire in some way in her surgery. Were you excited about that? Or is it something that Marsley is exploring this season?
So, very excited, first of all. Marsley has taken on the role of Claire's medical apprentice. Basically, Claire needs help and sees that Marsley is someone that has the skills of a seamstress and the skills of a butcher. So a woman of her time would have to be able to butcher things, but this like small blonde girl was able to like cut up, in theory it was like 70 kilo between 40 to 70 kilo pigs and goats and things like that cutting up, and Claire sort of notices that. And I think as a woman from her time, that's just not something that you see with in the 1950s, 60s, and the 1700s. That's very much part of what I do. So she goes, well, I mean, this is quite helpful. Animal body could be a body. Let's get you in. And I'm not squeamish. Marcelly's not squeamish. She's a pretty brave, vivacious woman. And to be young and have loads of kids, like, she's just like right in it. She's a full-on woman of her time that she really goes for it. And yeah, there's a new relationship that really has spanned time with her and Claire that started initially so negatively and with such hate now something that's
now, like, full Mother Claire.
Yeah.
Last thing, if you could pick one emoji
from your one emoji from your character for the season 5, what would that be?
Peach.
Thank you, Miss Lauren Lyle.
Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Duncan Lacroix. Lacroix? Lacroix. Lacroix. Vous êtes français. Un peu? Okay, I will not put you on the spot.
Extreme trouble when I go through France and customs, and they look at my passport and expect me to speak fluent French, and I just stare blankly at me, and then they get very angry.
We have to ask. You are, quite honestly, because they resurrected the dude, you are the true unknown of the season. What can fans look forward to that you can release, tell us, from Myrta this season?
No. Just like the red dot will appear from stars.
Fighting, family time, love time.
All of that. You'll get to see how the relationship with Jocasta plays out. Especially if you're about to see in season 1 how they're able to get together in the circumstances of him running away. He's got a little love shack in the forest somewhere. You're going to see how that whole conflict plays out, of how far he gets with the regulators, what happens with being hunted.
Well, we can't wait to see it. And before we let you go, could you pick one emoji that would represent your character this season?
Is that an emoji?
Oh, the little, yeah. Oh, the frown face.
Turn this into an emoji.
We got it. Thank you so much.
So we hope you guys enjoyed our kind of a mini episode. Not too short, but not as long as our...
Like a throwback.
Like a throwback.
And look, it was like a little throwback. Because, you know, it happened in the past.
It did, really. We hope you guys enjoyed it. And we are so thankful, as always, that you guys were here to listen with us, or that you listened to us, to the others, to some wonderful, wonderful people that we all know and love. And I think we're going to be back next week, Sam.
That is the plan. And join us next week when we will be discussing episode 508, entitled Famous Last Words. And as always, if you'd like to join us to continue the conversation, head on over to www.outlanderpod.com/group.
And as always, thank you guys so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode when we're back in the saddle.
I dreamt it last night.